bring in Brian Lawton, NHL analyst with the NHL Network. Good morning, Mr. Lawton.
Jeff, Ashley, good morning.
Hello.
I mentioned that I watched that Preds-Jets game last night. I love the Paul Stastny deal from Winnipeg's point of view. We saw him. He had one goal and an assist. He got an assist and a power play goal with Mark Scheifele. He was all over the place. Ryan Hartman got the game winner for the Preds with a minute remaining. But that Stastny deal, I think, you know, every time there's a trade deadline, everybody sits down and draws up winners and losers and, you know, deals that, you know, made sense, deals that didn't make sense. But the more you look at that Stastny deal on several levels, that is exactly the type of deal that might make the difference for the Winnipeg Jets, isn't it?
I thought it was a great deal, to be honest with you. And the thing that shocked me, Jeff, was that never really heard Stastny's name once. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are working hard to be in the know as to what's happening. And Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Jets, was able to kind of pull a rabbit out of his hat and come up with another center, which everybody was looking for. There just wasn't that much on the market. I thought it was a fantastic deal for the Jets.
It's kind of ironic that Winnipeg is a preferred destination over New York at this point. Don't you think?
You think so?
Yeah, it's a little bit ironic. Yeah. It's like, let's head up to Canada where it's freezing cold, where it's not that scenic.
Well, I don't know how preferred it is. It seems like everybody is Winnipeg and they're no trade list.
But I think that they're building a culture where people will want to go.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the astuteness of a veteran player like Stastny, a guy that's been around, a guy that realizes he's in the last year of a deal. He had a great start in St. Louis. Things went sideways. Winnipeg's got an excellent team, but it also happens to work for where he's at in his career right now. And I give him high marks for recognizing that hey, this could be a great move for me to have a chance to play in the playoffs. And the Winnipeg Jets, they're for real. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got solid depth at D. Their goaltending has finally been better, and their forwards are tremendous. Although, I will tell you, I am very curious to see how they respond after last night's loss, because it was a bit devastating being up 5-3, huge game against Nashville, chance to pull even with them. And then it all kind of went sideways. So I'm curious to see how they react. I'm worried about a couple teams in the playoffs this year. One of them is going to be the Winnipeg Jets, because they don't really have that group of guys that have been there, and I think it's a process to win in the playoffs. The other one, quite frankly, is the Vegas Golden Knights, a team that's not going backwards, but a little bit sideways right now for me.
Yeah, one of the things that I think explains why, you know, so many teams were active this year, why the moves that were made is, you know, this is no disrespect to the Golden Knights, but I'm looking at teams in the West, and I've got to think that subconsciously, hey, look, we know that I was going to say Edmonton can't be this bad next year. I've been saying that for 3 years, but the chances are Edmonton's going to be better. You know, Chicago's rebuilding right now. There's a real window of opportunity here for a lot of teams, and I think your point's right about Vegas. Vegas has been a great team. You know, we all know the Vegas flu and all that, but I got to think that deep down, Brian, in the back of a head, you know, whether it's Paul Maurice or whoever, deep down in the back of their mind, or, you know, they're thinking, you know, if the road to the final goes through Vegas, we'll take that road. You know, we'll take a shot at that in the playoffs.
Yeah, just starting the Pacific. I mean, do you think that L.A., Anaheim, San Jose are quaking in their boots if they have to play Vegas?
No.
Early on in the playoffs in the first or second round? Absolutely not. And Vegas has been incredible, guys. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we can't stop saying enough superlatives about them, but the fact of the matter is, for me, they have outworked teams from day one this year, and now the work ethic is starting to rise on some of these other teams as they know what it's all about to play in the National Hockey League, and that is to win in the playoffs. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a leveling out before it's said and done, and I would not be surprised if Vegas did not have the success in the playoffs they've had in the regular season.
Well, let's be honest, Brian, going into Vegas for one night, for one away game where you might be gallivanting around town is a completely different mentality when you're bunkered down and you're hunkered down for a series where you have to play the same team again and again, and it's a business trip now. It's no more fun and games. It's no more rookie parties. It's no more mom's trips. It's just, we are here for hockey. We got to get the job done.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jeff's a bit older than the average player, but I'm certain that he might struggle with his job for one night before in Vegas.
Nah, not me.
Not Jeff. No,
I'd have a nice meal. I'd have a nice meal. Jeff. I'd be in bed. You wouldn't catch me. You wouldn't catch me. You wouldn't catch me gambling. I wouldn't be doing that. Most of those shows aren't sort of to my taste anyhow. So
no Britney Spears for you?
No, I'd be having the nice meal. I'd be having the nice meal. Maybe take one round of blackjack, and that's about it. Lose my $20 and go
and
home.
Then head home because someone before you decided.
Actually, you know
to
what I would do? I'd find
16.
It first thing I'd do. Honest to God, I'd find it in an Out Burger, and then we'd go from there.
So basic.
That's not a bad choice, but that's more of something about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm more concerned what you're doing at 2 a.m.
2 a.m., yeah.
Whose move at the trade deadline did you really like? You talked about, obviously, Winnipeg and getting Stastny, but, I mean, clearly Tampa Bay upgraded themselves as well. I like the fact they got JT Miller in that deal as well as McDonough, but who do you think really did good business at the deadline?
I do really think it was Tampa. Mm-hmm. To me, Steve Yzerman played that beautifully. I mean, he sort of drew it out to the very end. There was no chance for anybody to respond. He didn't have to give up some of the players that we thought he would. He ended up absolutely with the guy they wanted. Hey, make no mistake, Erik Karlsson, another big name out there, huge guy. Ryan McDonagh, to me, is a better fit with the Tampa Bay Lightning than Erik Karlsson. I really believe that. He can stand mm-hmm. you and carry his own second pair. Hedman can run the first pair. You're going to have one of these two guys out there all but maybe 5 or 6 minutes in a game, if you want to. And that's incredibly powerful. So I was over the moon about what they did. I also, even though I felt like Tampa got a great price on Ryan McDonagh, it was just a lot lower than I thought. I still like the commitment of the New York Rangers to make a bold decision, decide, not unlike the Leafs a few years ago, hey, there's going to be some pain, but mm-hmm. we got to do this thing right mm-hmm. if we want to get back to where we want to be. I thought Jeff Gordon really stuck to his guns. He moved out guys that he said he was going to. He was transparent about it. I think that's the new NHL. I could not look that far away from you two folks right now over to Montreal and wonder what the heck were they doing there.
Yep. No, I look at what the Rangers did. They got five useful players. They've got four picks in the first 48 picks of the draft right now, at least. I'll give them credit, and I think you're right. I know that we're talking to Nick Kypreos about this, and of course Nick played in New York. He kind of thought, you know, the idea that the Rangers would have to go through this, you know, boy, it just shows you how much times have changed. But I'm kind of with you. I think, you know what, when you've got a smart season's ticket base, and the one thing with the Rangers season's ticket base is it's a pretty committed group. It's a pretty stable group. I think you're almost obligated to do that now, Brian, because, you know, fans have got access to social media. They've got access to some analytics as well. You know, they're reading, they're going on blogs and on some pretty specific, some pretty high-level websites, some of them. They kind of know what's going on more than fans in the past. And I don't think you can pull the wool over their eyes. I think you be honest with them, say, hey, there is going to be some pain. But look, this is a plan. And oh, by the way, if you don't think this plan can work, we'll take a look at what the Chicago Blackhawks did with this plan. You know, take a look at what Toronto's doing with this plan. It can work. Or Boston, for that matter.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When I was in Tampa, one of the first things that we did as a management staff was to sit down and look at the teams that were having success and go over the history of how they were built in the new salary cap world. You can't go back forever. You've got to be more fresh with your analysis. And it literally, I can't remember it. I could find it on my computer. But it worked out essentially where it was Chicago, L.A., Washington, Pittsburgh, and every team, it was like this wonderful, beautiful little chart analytically. It was 4 years out of the playoffs. Chicago. It was 5 for Washington. It was 6 for L.A. It was 7 for Pittsburgh. And to me, that was the clear direction, particularly for us in Tampa, that we had to go. Now, that ended up yielding Stamkos and Hedman, which are two pretty good guys. They've done an incredible job since then of continuing to build off of that, enhance it. So that's wonderful. But it's kind of scary if you're a small market team right now and you see the likes of the Toronto Maple Leafs go the direction they've gone, and to now see the New York Rangers. Mm. Those guys are supposed to screw around forever and just sign the big free agent. And now
not really need
no more intellect to go this route. It scares us.
Well, you know, it's not just in hockey. I mean, look at the New York Yankees. Yeah, they've added Stanton, and they've got some big salaries, but they're building their team in another sort of core four. They're building their team in a minor league system that's just loaded with prospects. You know, as someone always said, kind of the nightmare scenario is when the big market teams develop small market common sense, and we're starting to see that now in sports.
Yeah, no, I agree, and there's a lot of changes going on right now. You got a new owner in Carolina, Tom Dundon, who I thought, you know, there might be some explosions going off down there in terms of them making moves, but he's kind of an analytics guy, and he may not quite be in tune with hockey in terms of it's not exactly like Moneyball, but there are a lot of strides to be made with more of an analytical view as to managing a club, that's for certain. And it's going to be fascinating to see more teams follow this. You know, the Cubs did it, and as you just pointed out, the Yankees. That's scary if you're the Arizona Coyotes, if you ask me.
Right. Good stuff as always, Brian. Really appreciate you doing this. Good to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Ash.